Thanks for listening to the Get Over Yourself podcast, brought to you by Carol Fit Stationary Bike Program, 8-minute workouts to get super fit. Perfect Keto, the cleanest, highest potency ketone supplements. MOFO, male optimization formula with organs to boost testosterone. Let's get checked at home testing kits. Try LGC.com. Almost Heaven, beautiful compact home use sauna kits. Brad's macadamia masterpiece, the mind-blowing nut butter blend. And check out bradkearns.com/shop, my personal selection of favorite products for health, fitness, and peak performance. And here we go with the show.
When I was younger, I had a different view about racing in the age group, and that was, 10 years ago. So these days, I really enjoy much more being in nature, sharing trails with other people, and sharing the outdoor athletic experience, being out there for 2 or 4 or 8 hours. And eating and resting and training appropriately. I think if you look at that term base building, and the literal definition of it is to build and nurture that fitness base from which you can launch all other forms of athletic activity, including high intensity workouts, including sprinting. 1 to 2 strength training sessions a week, 1 sprint session a week, it's not that much. And I also like to expand the perspective beyond a week, because a week's an arbitrary block of time. Just do the workouts that come when your intuition tells you that you're ready, and an average of that frequency is just fine.
Introducing Let's Get Checked. It's a new company that makes comprehensive health, wellness, and peak performance metabolic testing more convenient than ever. You have to check these guys out right now. Go to trylgc.com/Brad, and you get a beautiful presentation of what they're all about. And what they do is at-home testing kits. That's right. They send you the kit in the mail to get the fluids they need, whether it's pricking your finger, urine, saliva. You just mail it in. Don't even have to go to the blood draw lab, and you get your report in 2 to 5 days online with all your results. And they offer all kinds of stuff for health and wellness. You get your male and female sex hormone panels, comprehensive nutrition panels, sexual health and disease screening, everything in the privacy of your own home. You know from listening that I've been a huge fan of going to the blood draw labs and tracking my numbers, especially my testosterone and my other adaptive hormones. Been doing it frequently, and that helps me really track the training and lifestyle patterns that optimize health and speed recovery, and also the stupid stuff that I do, overstress, overtraining patterns that trash my hormone levels, and then I can take corrective action. I love doing it. It's really popular, but it's a little bit of a hassle to go to the labs, make the appointment, wait around. So now you just go to trylgc.com/Brad, get a 20% discount on all their tests, and everything happens at home. It's fantastic. And check this out. The results are reviewed by their physicians. And if anything concerns you, you can schedule a phone consultation with a nurse and have 24/7 access to their staff through your treatment and your resolution. Oh, these guys are revolutionizing modern medicine and self-quantification. You're going to love it. It's so simple. The website presentation is really great. So trylgc.com/Brad, automatic 20% discount, or you can use the code Brad if you're on their website. Otherwise, let's get checked, everybody. Get Over Yourself podcast. Baby, baby. Baby, baby, when you called me on the phone today, you sounded frantic when you said come over right away. And how you doing, peoples? Let's do some Q&A. Baby, baby, people have a lot to say, 'cause they wrote into the podcast. Hey, email address is getoveryourselfpodcast@gmail.com. And let's get into it right away. Jose, writing all the way from España.
Gracias para escuchar en el otro país. He's from Galicia in the northwest corner of Spain. How awesome. And he sent me a link to their tourism website. And, oh my gosh, looks beautiful over there. Lots of points of interest. Plan your whole agenda with their nice tourism website. So maybe someday, man, when everything opens up, we are bound to head over there. Okay, Jose wanted to say thanks for my show. Very informative, healthy, lifestyle-oriented. You helped keep me on track with my journey of improving my health, physical and mental. I knew about low-carb keto, you name it, a few years back, and at the same time knew about Maffetone, his proposal for more healthy, balanced training and eating. Also, Professor Noakes and his great work got me on the path to setting long-term goals. Right now, Jose's 45. He likes trail running. And interesting comments. I'm not considering myself a type A person nor a keto guy. I eat real food. I try to minimize grains and refined carbohydrates. Nice, sensible approach that he's communicating. Not too dogmatic in any aspect, he says. When I was younger, I had a different view about racing in the age group, and that was 10 years ago. So these days, I really enjoy much more being in nature, sharing trails with other people, and sharing the outdoor athletic experience, being out there for 2 or 4 or 8 hours, and eating and resting and training appropriately. So I love that observation where you had your phase of life where you were really into the competition, pushing your body, and now gracefully entering into a different phase where your main goal is just enjoying the trails and the nature with other people and aging gracefully. Love it, man. Great little plug there. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, going for it and getting a little intense about things if that's what lights you up. It's all about being happy and stimulated and getting a payoff, getting a reward from your athletic pursuits. And on the show, I talk a lot about maintaining passion and competitive intensity throughout life and finding goals that really light you up and get you excited and turn you on and get you putting in the work necessary. But it doesn't necessarily have to mean that you get all worked up and pants in a bunch about it, right? Maybe your athletic goal can be to complete a long hike that's not competitive in any way and maybe not even going to tax your body to the absolute maximum, which is something that you got off on in your younger years. And that's perfectly all right. But it's still nice to have a goal and a focus and a direction and, you know, applying that competitive intensity in any way that you feel appropriate to yourself. And I'm so fond of my high jumping ambitions in recent months, and I'm really enjoying training like an athlete and trying to get the most out of my body and consulting with Dr. Craig Marker and Tim DeFrancesco and trying to do it right and filming myself and analyzing my high jump technique and breaking it down and learning from other people's videos. But all told, let's not forget that there's no one out there. it's not of any significance to the planet. And the Olympics are postponed anyway, so I'm not concerned about the Olympics. So to have everything in the proper context that I'm very passionate and quote-unquote serious about it, but also having that healthy perspective that I'm just doing something for my own personal significance and not have to have a bad day because I had a bad workout or feel stressed or anxious because things aren't going according to plan. And that's a very common sentiment among even amateur recreational participants in sports like triathlon, ultra running, CrossFit, team sports where the competitive intensity is a little bit misplaced and you start forgetting the title of the show to get over yourself. So again, if I'm just bringing this theme in through as many shows as possible, the reason I picked this title is that there's a way to do this where you can still be highly competitive and highly accomplished and excited, driven, goal-oriented, focused, but without that little edge where it's a potentially unhealthy perspective where you attach your self-esteem to the outcome of what you're doing, or you place excessive significance on it rather than keeping it in healthy perspective. So Jose, with a very nice letter, muchas gracias, amigo. Hasta algún día en el área de España que se llama Galicia. Next is my main man, Curls, with one of the most profound quotes of the year. That's right, Connor Curley, as featured in the Keto Cooking for Cool Dudes book with his Curly Boys Breakfast Muffins, one of the greatest recipes you'll ever try. I swear you'll get hooked on this stuff. It's so easy to make. You pour the eggs and hamburger meat in a muffin tin. You can put vegetables in there too. Cook them up, and you have these wonderful egg muffins for a busy morning on the go. Feed them to your kids instead of that garbage that comes in a box. So thank you, Curly Boys, for contributing to the book. And now he's contributing to the podcast from his home base in the mountains of Colorado. And he says, I'm trying to find a balance between running and lifting that makes me feel best. Hey, without a home gym these days, without a gym to go to and without a significant home gym, it's been kind of a bust the last 2 months. So I've been finding myself running a bit more than heading into the gym and lifting weights. My problem is, pay attention, everybody. Lifting makes me feel good, but it's boring. Running is super fun, but it makes me feel bad. Oh, man, I can feel you here, Curls, because I have the same exact feeling. I love going out there, especially in my new environment in Tahoe, and exploring new trails and getting on that mountain bike, which has not had a lot of hours in recent years. So my fitness level is, you know, much reduced from old times when I could definitely go out there and enjoy a 3 or 4 hour ride and not be trashed. But now you get out there, you get excited, and you exceed your capabilities, or in my case, a couple weeks ago, the heart rate watch was beeping like crazy because I was up at 8,000 foot altitude on steep hills and I just wasn't conditioned properly to do it. And what everyone deserves to respect is that it feels great at the time. It's fun. It's a great challenge to push your body and try to make it to the top of the hill and finish the ride. But what happens in the aftermath is very unpleasant for me on numerous occasions where I have a tendency to overdo it. I even feel fine the next day and the day after because of the stress response and the mechanisms that occur when you put your body under exercise stress. Your body responds with a fight or flight response, and the adaptive hormones circulate in the bloodstream. Cortisol is high, so that you have improved functionality of your muscles, your nervous system, your heart rate, your respiration. Everything primes you to complete the challenge that you've presented for yourself. And what happens is these hormones tend to circulate in the bloodstream for a long time afterward, so that the next morning you're still kind of awash in a cortisol bath, and you have an artificial sense of feeling recovered and energized when really it's the stress hormones that are contributing to your sense of well-being at that time. So then you go out and perform another ambitious workout, which you actually feel fine doing. That's the important point I want to make, is that it's not like someone dragging themselves out of bed and forcing themselves onto a trail and putting one foot in front of the other until they get overtrained. This is more of a physiological deception where you make a assessment of your energy, alertness, how your legs feel. Your legs feel loose and supple. You feel energetic and you head out there again. But then, because of the nature of the fight or flight response, if you overtax it, the mechanisms become exhausted over time, and it's very easy to fall off a cliff and feel like crap, whether that's 24 to 36 hours after an overly ambitious workout or after a binge of 4 to 6 weeks of really great training where you report feeling fantastic and getting fitter and fitter. You have a down period because you failed to implement the proper stress and rest balance and recovery workouts and take things easy. So I think this is where we need the revolution in the fitness industry to realize that when you walk in the door of that gym and come into the classroom and get on the bike and the music's pumping and the instructor's shouting and everything's wonderful and you're having a great time. Same with the CrossFit session with all the camaraderie and the people clapping for you. Or when you head over to the running group on Tuesday night and you run circles around the track and you're trying to keep pace and you have this tremendous sense of accomplishment and satisfaction of pushing your body hard. But when the pattern becomes chronic in nature, when you do this too frequently, when you ask yourself to perform a feat that's beyond your endurance capabilities or your strength power capabilities too frequently, that's when you fall apart. So my recent reference point is doing an epic ride up in Tahoe, and then a couple days later I was exploring a different trail and kind of got lost and ended up doing a ride that was much more difficult than I'd planned on a day that should have been recovery. And the cumulative effect of those two rides, where both of them felt fine at the time, mind you, was a week of feeling pretty much subpar, having some muscular tightness that wouldn't go away. And basically it was a mini disaster because I know better, but it still happened. And so Connor's comment that lifting makes me feel good, but it's boring. Running is super fun, but makes me feel bad. That's what he's getting to. Because once you get out there on the trail, oh man, isn't it exciting to keep going and going? So we have to apply that restraint to even things that we enjoy to act in our long-term best interests. And then when you talk about the lifting aspect, there's the injury prevention and the hormonal boost that he's referring to. So they can, by all accounts, be considered healthy if you have a reasonable lifting schedule. And if you avoid that, then you're going to kind of increase your injury risk when you're doing team sports or even straight-ahead sports because you haven't developed total body fitness and functional fitness. So Kelly Starrett's big on this, Tim DeFrancesco, he did an assessment with me, DeFrancesco did over the video and asked me to perform a series of basic movements, and he's looking very carefully to see, can I lower down with one leg elevated into a split lunge position and load my glutes properly, or have they been deactivated and atrophied from sitting too much and not doing any form of training besides running straight ahead or pedaling a bicycle? And that's so common where people have these disastrous, drastic functional weaknesses and imperfections and imbalances, but they're insisting on going out and performing more exercise and doing the sport that they have so much passion for. So, man, I know it's boring. And let me tell you, if anyone's been using mini bands lately, I have some videos doing the big bands, and the mini bands are the ones you put around your ankle and do the shuffling along. They're very painful. They light up the glutes right away. It's basically a pain and torture session. And I always was averse to doing them because I'd get sore the next day because I wasn't used to it. But I realize now that the source of my main recurring injury of this hamstring glute strain that's been coming and going for several years now, such an annoyance when I start to sprint a little bit ambitiously or high jump ambitiously, I'll get that reliable soreness, pain, and sciatic acting up on the left side. But if I commit to doing my mini bands every single day and working those things pretty hard, I can't say it's fun at all, but knowing that this will open the gateway to more fun and excitement and especially injury prevention, which is the most important thing. If you really want to have fun, you don't want to get injured. And so to have that guarantee that I'll be able to enjoy for years to come what I want to do, that is sufficient motivation to do stuff that's quote unquote boring. So there you go. That's how we're going to balance the fun stuff with the boring stuff to have your total athletic experience and avoid injuries and also optimize hormones, right? So great points made there by Connor. Thank you for listening. Harry says, I just listened to your Primal Endurance book, recognized the voice that you also narrated Dr. Doug McGuff's book, Primal Prescription. Great book there. So thank you for Thank you for listening. I love audiobooks. How about you guys? I think it's such a great way to consume the information. I'm a huge fan because a lot of times my eyes get tired of reading words on a screen since I'm doing that all day anyway. But cranking up an audiobook and going out there, sometimes I do it while I'm exercising or driving or whatever. Really great. I believe I can consume more books in general accessing that platform as well. And I really enjoy reading the audiobooks that we've published over the years. I've done it several times now. And boy, it's a great way to connect with the information, especially if you wrote it. Reading it has a whole different perspective that helps you realize when you're redundant, and I'm kind of cursing myself when I'm in the recording studio going, oh gosh, that doesn't sound right. So maybe before the next book, I'll read the whole dang thing aloud just as an editing exercise. But anyway, it's also another way to process the information in a different modality than just reading with your eyes. I think it kind of keeps you alert when someone's talking to you in your ear and maybe picking up the information in a different way. Okay, so Harry says, I already like high-intensity interval training, and I'm wondering now how I can combine the traditional high-intensity strength training approach recommended by Doug McGuff and others. He has a great book called Body by Science, McGuff does, and the primal endurance approach, where we're talking about slowing down, emphasizing the aerobic base period, not doing any intensity during the aerobic base period, and those things that are potentially at odds unless you understand it. And I'll, of course, explain it, and I've done so on other shows too. So in this case, Harry's primary priority... Can't say primary priority, man. Just pick one or the other. Okay, my primary goals are health, longevity, daily energy in a sedentary job. I guess this translates to improving metabolic health and avoiding sarcopenia. That's the muscle loss associated with aging that is such a huge mortality risk factor, and diminished quality of life is losing that muscle mass is a bad deal. My second priority, you can't say that either. Priority is a priority. Okay, my secondary goal is getting strong and lean. I don't compete. I don't really care about endurance performance for its own sake, except in the sense that it's useful in the rest of my life. Well said. I like that. I do, however, want to focus more on endurance than I have in the past. So the Primal Endurance book speaks to me, and things are finally making sense. I have the idea of doing mostly base-building, light, aerobic exercise year-round, and then doing sprints from time to time, doing one or two high-intensity strength training sessions a week. So how can I combine these three in a way that doesn't end up being counterproductive? I think if you look at that term base building, and the literal definition of it is to build and nurture that fitness base from which you can launch all other forms of athletic activity, including high-intensity workouts, including sprinting. I was just emailing with Dr. Maffetone this week, and he was explaining that, I'm talking about my high jump goals, and I'm transitioning away from any endurance goals. But he says, you keep doing that endurance work because keeping those aerobic muscle fibers healthy, those are the oxygenating muscle fibers that run through your muscles, those will help to nourish and supply oxygen to the fast twitch muscle fibers, which are non-oxidative. So when you have a strong endurance base, it also supports the functionality of your fast twitch muscle fibers. In contrast, I suppose, you could think of a sprinter or a power guy in the gym who doesn't do any cardio whatsoever. The workouts are going to be make the person more winded. They're going to get tired just from doing their own high-powered workout. And I can certainly relate to this because in the tail end of my high jump sessions, where I'm doing a lot of jumping drills and explosive jumping off the ground into the pit, it doesn't seem like much, but it takes a tremendous amount of energy to jump up in the air as high as you can. Go ahead and try it if you don't believe me. And if you start doing that 5 times, 10 times, 15 times, you are going to feel that cumulative fatigue just from something that, only takes a few minutes total, right? So if you have that aerobic base, you can survive and thrive in high-intensity training sessions much better. So they definitely definitely complement each other. And I think the place where we go awry and screw this up is when that aerobic work becomes too stressful and you exceed your maximum aerobic heart rate and get into the glucose burning heart rates. The workout is depleting and exhausting. And then you're thinking that the next day you're going to go in the gym and throw around some heavy weights and then go back into an overly stressful aerobic training session. That's when you get into big time overtraining, because there's nothing like combining overly stressful aerobic activity with what's already stressful, anaerobic explosive power activity. And then in many cases, people that are doing these strength training sessions are doing them in a manner that's too strenuous, and the workout lasts for too long. Guess who's especially guilty of this? Is the endurance athlete, where the endurance athlete comes into the gym and applies that endurance mentality to their high-intensity strength training session. In other words, they do a whole bunch of sets with short rest, right, because they have such awesome endurance, and oftentimes using low resistance, like lighter weights, because they think that's what's going to contribute to their endurance performance because it's similar. And really, what you should be doing, I knew this 20 years ago, and I didn't really say it out loud, it just made sense to me, that you should be counterbalancing all the endurance work that you're doing on the road by going into the gym once in a while and doing something that's truly powerful and explosive to work those different muscle fibers and those different energy systems and complement your already awesome endurance. So it's like, if you already have an A plus in endurance, if you're an ultra runner, triathlete, marathon runner, and then you're coming into the gym and you're doing a workout that requires endurance, that is mostly endurance based because you're lifting a light amount of weight, doing 15 reps and then doing another set and then doing another set, basically you're just tiring yourself out with another endurance training session. I forget who gave me this quip back. One of my friends or somebody said, yeah, I have a great high rep, low resistance workout for a runner. It's called running 6 miles, or it's doing mini lunges for 6 miles of a training run, right? Because every step of running is technically a mini lunge, right? So that was pretty funny to think about it that way. So I recall when I was a triathlete, I didn't do very much strength training because we were pretty much tiring ourselves out with all the aerobic workout. But when I did go in and do an upper body strength training session, let's say in the winter, I would push the heavy weights and do short reps and try to get stronger and more powerful so that when it was time to go jump in the pool and swim laps, I had a little bit of extra. So that's a plug for people to do that disparate forms of training that the Primal Blueprint's talking about, and the ancestral example of doing brief, high-intensity, truly explosive strength training sessions, all-out sprints with a lot of rest between them. So it's a true explosive sprint rather than an exhausting, depleting workout where you're doing a whole bunch of sprints with not enough rest and getting really tired, and your quality, your degree of difficulty goes down as the workout proceeds. That's just not the way to do it. It's just exhausting, fatiguing, and you're never going to build that top end because you're not conducting the workout properly. So do your aerobic stuff. Make sure it's actually aerobic rather than in between, right? And then when it's time to throw some intensity in, you do something truly explosive. So the conflict for a lot of people is the primal endurance approach is talking to an endurance athlete with prominently endurance goals, and the maximum return on investment for that athlete is going to come from doing aerobic activity at aerobic heart rate. And once in a while, you can have these little phases where you go in and do some strength training for a 3-week block, let's say, throw in some sprint workouts, you reduce volume during those times, and then you get right back into another phase where you're emphasizing over distance, base building, things like that, and then going into competition. So you don't have to go and throw weights around like a CrossFit person or a team sport person who has goals that are more toward explosive rather than prolonged endurance. So to mix that up depends on the nature of your goals. And so Harry's asking, how do I blend all those together? If you're just trying to be total fitness like you describe, Yeah, you can do base building all the time and then throw in your high intensity sessions as recommended. We say, you know, 1 to 2 strength training sessions a week, 1 sprint session a week. It's not that much. And I also like to expand their perspective beyond a week, because a week's an arbitrary block of time. Just do the workouts that come when your intuition tells you that you're ready, and an average of that frequency is just fine. So, you know, 6 to 7 sprint workouts every 2 months, right? Looking at the big picture is a little different than trying to be regimented and stick to this weekly pattern week in and week out. And speaking of that, Harry says, should I, as a non-competitive athlete, take a month off of exercise in a certain year? Is it really necessary since I don't do taxing endurance competitions? I don't go into the black hole hardly ever. And I don't want to overtrain either. So if you feel like taking a break, then you deserve a break, and you go ahead and take one and just forget about your exercise routine for a month. I think that's really refreshing sometimes. Athletes for sure should do something like that, where they just get away from it, get away from the obsession with times and distances and training logs and training partners, and just pursue other hobbies like cleaning up around the house that you've neglected for the entire season while you've been obsessed with exercise. But if you're not competitive and you haven't gone into overly stressful periods, then there's no need to just step away for the purpose of taking a break. So they may be better coming haphazardly, spontaneously throughout the year, where you take a week off here, you take a week off there, you take 3 weeks off here because you went on a big vacation or something, or if you had an illness of some kind. Of course, those are great times to just cease training and allow your health to recover, you know, to feel great at rest, I think is a prerequisite for resuming any form of devoted training regimen. Okay, so if you're feeling like crap at rest for whatever reason, maybe it's a stressful period of your life, things are difficult with job, relationship, family, it does not go hand in hand with the stress that you put your body under, even in a routine workout, or what seems like a routine workout when life's normal. Okay, so blending all that stuff together can work really well if you're doing everything correctly and not getting into these chronic patterns. And very nice letter from Harry. He's doing a lot of things right, getting his son, and nice that you mentioned all that stuff, trying the carnivore diet out, eating a lot of nutritious foods, and trying to drop his body fat. So good luck with that, because I think carnivore would be really helpful to do that. It satiates, but it also has that little or no carbohydrate content, so you're going to be tapping into accelerated fat burning mode. All right. Good luck, Harry, and everyone else listening with that total body fitness plan, sensible approach. Good stuff is catching on all over the world. People be doing it right, having more fun, fewer injuries, less frustration. Thank you for listening. Baby, I can rock it all night. There's nothing I can't do. Baby, I can rock it all night. One thing I know I can do. Thank you for listening to the show. We would love your feedback at getoveryourselfpodcast@gmail.com. And we would also love if you could leave a rating and a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. I know it's a hassle. You have to go to desktop iTunes, click on the tab that says ratings and reviews, and then click to rate the show anywhere from 5 to 5 stars. And it really helps spread the word so more people can find the show and get over themselves, because they need to. Thanks for doing it.